Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Would you join me, please, and let's read John chapter 1, verse 14, and then verse 16 from the Amplified Bible, and then we'll go from there. And the word Christ became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father. Full of grace, say that again, full of grace, again, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. For out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received. All had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. That's the head of the church right there. That's the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Wow. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and of his fullness have we all received. Wow. Now read with me Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 from the Amplified. And my God will liberally supply, fill unto full, your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This is our theme passage for this year. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Dad, can I have 500 shillings? Dad, can you help me with my math? Dad, what's the capital of Niger? Dad, do you love me? Dad, why can't we get another car? Dad, please let Mom make chai, not you. Mom, is Dad in a good mood? Mom, please talk to Dad. Dad, when can I have a phone? Mom, will I ever get my own room? Dad, Mom, I did not make the team. The questions and the requests and the needs of our children seem endless, especially when you have a tribe like I have, and Miss Amy, six of them. Whether in primary or secondary, in college, even married, our offspring need our help. Most times, I can provide the help that they need. But sometimes I'm unable to come up with the answer or the solution. And when that happens, my typical response is, go ask your mother. As much as I would like to, I don't have an answer or the resources for everything. But I know who does. I know that God supplies all of our needs according to the promises just read. Miss Amy and I have sought to live this from the day we were united, April 26, 1975. We sought with all of our hearts to put our trust and our confidence in God to supply our needs. God is a faithful God. Our text says that God has promised to supply our needs according to his riches. This tells us that we cannot, it's impossible to have a need too great for God to supply. In our text from Philippians 4:19, the words full and supply will liberally, my God will liberally supply, fill until full every need. The words full and supply are the same word in the Greek. And they mean to impart richly, to fill abundantly, to cram a net filled with God's fullness so as to fully participate in all the rich gifts of God. You see, God's provision is an endless, abundant supply. One grace upon another. Spiritual blessing upon blessing, favor upon favor, gift upon gift, fully meeting our day-to-day needs. I want to present to you part two and the final part of our theme message for this year, 2025, fully supplied. Come on, you receive that today, 2025, fully supplied. The world in which we live today, practically everything has become our need. Everything. I need. We say we need a new car, a new house, a new job, a new environment, a new holiday destination, a new electronic gadget. We need these things. We can't live without these things. I read a survey this week. I studied this. I saw this survey that was taken in the year 1860. This was taken in America, 1860. And the survey revealed that within the American family, there were the basic needs. They numbered them and they asked these families to list what would they consider to be their basic needs. There were 19 basic needs for the American family to survive. 2 years ago, they took that survey again, same survey. And today's number is 98. To survive. To survive. 98. You see, a new job, a new environment, a new house, a new gadget, those are not needs. Those are wants. Those are desires. I mean, the fact that we even have a house is amazing. But we always want a new one, but we feel it's our need. It's our need. So these are not our needs. These are our wants, our desires. It's not that they're wrong, but we need to understand and properly categorize and learn something here. Because if you begin to categorize wants and desires as needs, at times it can be confusing for you. And God is not a God of confusion. It can be also disappointing for you. And so to help bring clarity and focus to this oftentimes muddled up matter. Let's consider the words of Paul in our text, beginning with these words, my God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, the first part says, my God. Number one, the supplier, my God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob is my God. The same God who helped Elisha retrieve the borrowed axe head in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, that's my God. The same God who supplied food for a faithful widow in 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16, that is my God. The same God who provided wine at a small town wedding in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, that's my King, that's my God, who meets my needs as well. And we celebrate, today we celebrated, today we shared in the table of the Lord. It was so wonderful to share the table of the Lord with you today. What a beautiful time. Thank you, Pastor Nelson, and our amazing creative arts, just so good. My God will liberally supply, fill to the full, first the supplier. 2025, fully supplied, we must come to know the supplier. We must know our source. We must know in whom we have believed that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We need to know the supplier. Oh, that I may know him, that I may come to fullness in my understanding of the supplier who will liberally supply, fill to the full. Number two, the supply. First is the supplier. Secondly, the supply. Because God has already supplied our greatest need, which is reconciliation to God, made possible by the blood of the cross. Because he's already supplied our greatest need at the greatest cost, we can trust him to supply all our lesser needs. Now today, the final part of the verse, my God will liberally supply, fill to the full your every need according to his riches, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Number three, his riches, the supplies. The supplier, number one, the supply, number two, the supplies, three. This is how we're going to come to that place of being fully supplied in 2025. God says he will meet all your needs by his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. If that's true, why then do people have needs? We believe this, right? That he will supply all our needs according to his riches. Then why do people still have needs? We see a lot of people, including Christians, who have tremendous needs. Why aren't their needs being met? Come on, we're gonna get down today in these next few moments where the rubber meets the road. We're going to get down to some reality here. God says he'll meet all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, and yet I see needs in this church that have yet to be met. Needy people in need of miracles. Myself being one of them. I'm in need. And God says he'll meet all our needs according to his riches. And yet there are so many needs that have not yet been met. What's the problem? Is God a liar? The answer to that question. Now listen. The answer to that question, what's the problem? What's the problem here? The answer to that question is that this promise Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. This promise does not apply to every person. You said, what did you just say, Pastor? This answer to the question, well, we know the answer, is God a liar? Absolutely not. We already know the answer on that. But if it's true that God will supply your every need, why do we still have needs that have not yet been met? The answer is that this promise does not apply to every person, not even to every Christian. And I'll tell you why. Because with every promise, there is a premise. With every promise, there is a premise. We are in a covenant with a covenant-keeping God who requires we, his followers, to keep the terms of that covenant. And when we do, we will see our God, our supplier. God's promise to release the riches of his glory in Christ is based on the premise of giving. Of giving. Everybody say the word giving as though you're not afraid of it. God's promise to release the riches of his glory in Christ is based on the premise of giving. Contextually, in context, and Philippians 4:19 is so often, it's one of the greatest, if not the greatest promise in the Bible. And it is so often pulled out of context, printed on a t-shirt, printed on a coffee mug. My God shall supply all my needs. It's one of the most popular slogans or popular printouts ever for us believers. And contextually, we have to understand that God's promise to release the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus is based on the premise of giving, as I'm going to show you. But first, God says, and this is the way God deals with us. God says, if you do this, I'll do that. If you do this, this, and this, I'll do that, that, and that. It even begins, this whole walk with God even begins by you doing something. Until you do it, it's not going to happen. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, for if, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. That's the premise for the promise. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then God says, I will step onto the scene and you will be saved in a moment, in an instant. You will be lifted up out of that mire and clay of sin, and you will be set onto a straight path, and your name will be written in the book of life. See, this is how it all begins. You do this, this, and this. I'll do that, that, and that. Many people want to take the promise of Philippians 4:19 and apply it to their lives while avoiding the premise of verses 14 through 18. Now, don't shout me down because I'm preaching so good to you. Come on now. Many people want to take the promise of verse 19 and apply it to their lives while avoiding the premise of verses 14 through 18. What's verses? Come on, Pastor, what is this? Come on, we're not going to pull it out of context. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. What? Paul the Apostle had troubles? And somebody stepped up to the plate to share in his troubles? Wait, Paul the Apostle had suffering? And somebody came alongside him in his time of suffering? Wait, before we get to verse 19, let's read a few things. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of what? Giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. When I was in need, again and again, you sent to my aid. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment. And even more, I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Come on, let's praise the head of the church. Let's praise the head of the church. All my needs. If I do this, this, and this, God will do that, that, and that. You cannot claim verse 19 unless you're doing what verse 18 talks about, an acceptable offering, a fragrant sacrifice. We can't just jump in and print it on our coffee cup if we're not. Thank you, Jesus. In this letter, Paul thanks the Philippians for their sacrificial gifts, and he assures them that because they gave sacrificially, God will take care of their needs. You have to understand this. No church, he said. Paul said, no church stood with me. But in the beginning days of the gospel, from your time, the time of your transformation by the gospel, again and again and again, you sent me aid. You were the only church that did so. Let me tell you about the Philippian church. They were extremely poor. The Philippian church, they were extremely poor. They were, in fact, you study about them, they were poverty stricken. Yet in their, and this is incredible, in their state, they were so generous. They were so generous. Many years ago, a friend of mine was visiting some friends of theirs in South Africa, and he was telling me this story that these people were so generous, you could not pay them a compliment. He told me, I experienced this myself. I went into their home. We were having dinner, and I saw a painting on the wall. I said, That's a beautiful painting. He did not know about this couple as far as this side. They were friends, but he didn't know this. And they get in the car to drive home. And as they drive to their home, they look in the back seat when they arrive, and the picture is in the back seat. Anytime you compliment him, my friend told me, anytime you compliment him on his tie, he'd take it off and give it to you. What a nice watch you have. I know what some of you are thinking. I know exactly. You need to get down here in this altar and repent. Listen. Paul says, you gave to me when nobody else did, and it encouraged me. Can you imagine encouraging the Apostle Paul? It's like you don't even We don't even think of the Apostle Paul needing encouragement. This is a man who penned two-thirds of the New Testament. This is a man who went to the known world along with Barnabas and Silas and others, and they reached the entire known world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there was one poverty-stricken church, so poor, who sent him again and again and again, and it encouraged him. It strengthened him. It helped him to rise and stay focused and move forward. The premise of this promise of supplies, which is God's riches and glory, is generosity. The premise of the promise of supplies, these riches and glory, is generosity. Generosity, being a generous-hearted person. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will be himself refreshed. We say it like this around here, the liberal soul. Now he says he will liberally supply, fill unto full, for the liberal soul shall be made. For the liberal soul shall be made. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Two things happen when we are generous and we generously give. Two things happen. First, our ministry expands. Our ministry expands. That's the first thing that happens. Paul in Philippians 1, at the beginning of this letter, he said, you are partners with me in ministry. Do you know when Paul wrote that? He was 1,300 kilometers away from them. When he wrote to the Philippian church, he was over 1,300 kilometers away from them in prison. When he spoke about receiving the gifts from Epaphroditus, he was in prison. And he began the letter by saying, you are partners with me in ministry. Even though he was 1,400 to 1,300 kilometers away, locked in a prison, they were supporting him financially. They were sending to his need. They were sending again and again to his need. They were appointing a man named Epaphroditus to go and take their gifts personally and hand it to this servant of God. Not all of us can go to the mission field. Not all of us can preach. Not all of us can teach. But whenever we support the ministry where God has planted us, we become partners in the ministry. And we see our ministry extend. We see our ministry expand. If God has placed you in this house, you know that Nairobi Lighthouse Church is where God has placed you and planted you. I want to tell you, the bottom line is that we're partners together for one purpose. You and I, all of us together, are partnering to rescue the perishing. That is our focus. That is our purpose. Everything we seek to do, everything we seek to focus on, we have one ultimate goal in mind: rescue the perishing, care for the dying. This is what we're after. So number one, our ministry expands. More than that, and secondly, giving makes us like Christ. Giving makes us like Christ. Jesus Christ was a sacrificial giver. He gave up everything in heaven. He came to earth. He died on a cross. And so when I give, two things happen. The ministry expands and I become more Christ-like. Not hoarding away, but a generous heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 3 through 5, Paul says the Philippians are an example to the rest of the world, for they gave more than they could give. Paul said They are like, these guys are like an example to the whole world because they gave more than they could give. You know, when I read things like that, I begin to think. And I begin to think this kind of thought. They were an example to the rest of the world. That church had a reputation for giving that lives on 2,000 years later. So I asked myself, as I begin to prepare this word, will this church, will Nairobi Lighthouse Church, have a reputation that will last 2,000 years? I asked myself this question, what are we, Nairobi Lighthouse Church, what are we going to be known for? What are we going to be known for? How wonderful to be known as a generous church. Because it's how we stay the course in being a rescue center. Through our generosity, it helps keep us on track for being a rescue center. That's what our heart is. Church, it's time to expand our rescue center. You see, we're totally maxed out. This place where God has planted you, look up at me for just a moment. You don't ever hear me say this. I don't know if you've ever heard me say this. I don't know if you've ever seen me stand before you and say what I'm about to say. Nairobi Lighthouse Church has a need. We have a real need. NLC has a real need. We desperately need the land that is behind us right here. We desperately need it. And I stand before you today asking that each one of us whom you know God has planted you in this house, I'm asking you to arise in faith. Christmas is behind us. The new year has come. We've done all of our celebrations. We're on track now. We're focused. We're moving forward, fully supplied. Now I want and ask you as partners together, as locked in together in this rescue center where God has planted us, I'm asking that we now rise in faith. So many of you have already committed and filled out your promise, your pledge toward this land that we need to get finalized. So I'm standing before you today asking you to join me, join Miss Amy, join our entire staff. Let's arise in faith, tap into the bountiful supplies. Let's bring in our pledge and let's give it so that we may buy and attain this property. In the name of the Lord. Come on, let's look to the supplier for the supply, releasing the supplies that God will give us the miracle. Come on, let's go.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.